Hello again. We're back for another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Melly. I am joined once again by Rory DeLargan and Frank Hickey as we look ahead to the third day at Galway Festival and the second day at Glorious Goodwood. And we're going to waste no time, folks, and we're going to kick straight into it. No pleasantries today, I'm afraid to say, as I record, by the way, from the back of a Paddy Power shop, in case you're wondering why the sound is different. I haven't laid a bet yet, but I'm sure there'll be lots of jokes about not laying bets anyway. So I'll pass on that one anyway. We're going to kick off with the 150. It is a handicap over a mile and a half. And, well, this race is head in the market as we speak. And these have just been revised, these prices. So there could be fair changes between now and the off time. But the very quick improver, Secret State, has won his last three for William Buick, Charlie Appleby, the Godolphin horse. Box to Box has won three of his last four, is 11-2. 7-1 Solcombe on a hat-trick. Adjuvant, I should say, for Michael Bell and David Egan is nines, and 10-1 and bigger than the rest. I go straight to you, Rory DeLargy, handicap to kick off the card.
Yeah, it's an interesting one as well, because the two who might have started favourite and second favourite among the entries for this have skipped it, and I think probably run in the mile and a quarter race, the race that was the XTEL the following day. Makes it look a little bit more open, and I'm going to stick with a horse who's in danger of becoming a cliff horse for me, but hasn't cost me too much so far. So I'll certainly give him one more go. Inverness, his win last season came at this track, so he's very well suited by Goodwood. Well worth looking back to see that he won by a neck in one of those sire and dam restricted maiden races over a mile. He's bred for a mile and a half. He's by Highland Reel. Out of an Archmere, so it's mile and a half through and through. He came from well off the pace and stayed on really strongly to beat a next time out winner called Educator on that occasion. Decent enough form. He looked slow that day. You know, he needed every yard of the mile to get in front, but I thought he looked very genuine. He then made his reappearance in the Blue Ribbon Trial at Epsom, where I thought he shaped really well. He was a big drifter in the market beforehand. He didn't look like he was fully wound up. And I thought he shaped well enough, beating five lengths in a race that's worked out pretty well. He was disappointing then at Royal Ascot in the King George V handicap, but he got too far back that day. And then I don't mind horses being drawn wide at Ascot, but he's never gone wide until he's come into the turn into the straight and gone very, very wide off the turn. I didn't think that helped his chances of getting involved. Only beaten four lengths in the end, and given the race wasn't really run to suit horses who were held up like he was, and then he lost ground coming around the final bend. I don't think that was too bad. And I thought he didn't quite stay a mile and three quarters at Ascot last time, travelled well into the race, got there to throw down a challenge, and then when he's been strong at the finish in all his races, he just was one pace later on as if he didn't quite see the trip out. So given this looks his trip, he's feasibly handicapped still of 87. He's actually, you know, he was dropped £2 for his run at the Royal Meeting. I think that's a fair mark on what he's done. And I think Stall One's a very good position to be in here as well. Obviously, he hasn't really gone forward in his races to date. But while I don't mind being stuck out wide over a mile and a mile and a furlong, mile and a quarter, it's a good wood. The low draws have done pretty well on this race over the years, so I'm happy with him being drawn in Stall One. It's going to be a good price because he's been beaten in two handicaps already this season. And people tend to be looking for progressive handicappers who've won last time out. Not the sexiest horse in the race, but I think he'll have everything in his favour, and he should be able to be competitive at what I hope would be a decent price.
Yeah, he should be double figures. Inverness, Charlie Hills, the trainer there. Frank?
Yeah, I find it difficult to take on Secret State. Look, very well bred. He's the Dubai we called out of Jacqueline Quest too, of course. One of the guineas for them was thrown out as you put back the second. This horse won his last three starts after being second on debut in the Wood Ditton. Won the King George V Stakes Royal Ascot's handicap debut off American 93 the last hit. The second Dove Legend come out and won the Bahrain Trophy. And the next start to Frank, it looked a few behind have let the form down. But after that, Charlie Appleby was talking about him going to the Grey Voltigeur. So he obviously thinks, you know, he's a group horse. He has got him £7 to a mark of 100, but if they truly believe he's a great vulture horse, then a mark of 100 shouldn't be beyond him. And while he's the top of the market, I think he'll take a fair bit of beating. He's drawn in two as well. So that's
okay. Okay. Secret Stake for Frank, who that's the 150, and Inverness for Rory. Inverness, of course, part of the best ever Sporting headline. I can't remember which paper had it. Do you remember when they
Super
beat Celtic?
Cali, Go Ballistic. Celtic are atrocious.
Celtic were atrocious.
Although that was a rip-off of an earlier headline, which was about Ian St. John scoring for Liverpool against QPR. So that was QPR atrocious was how that one finished.
Okay, all right. That's right.
For Google, did they just come and ask you all the questions, or what was the story, Rory?
Rory de la Google. Right, move on to the 225. It's the Whispering Angel Oak Tree Stakes. It's Group 3 over 7 furlongs. This one for fillies. Heredia is the 4-1 favourite off the back of, well, she looks like she had the world at her hooves. And then she only went and finished third at Sandown in that listed race, beaten at odds on. That was a bit disappointing. Soft Whisper is 9-2 as we speak, but prices will change. Bounce the Blues will be up there. International Angel, Primo Bazio, First Kiss indeed, as benefit as well. The shop manager, Jer, is behind me here. Hi, Jer. Jer's going to be on the podcast now.
Oh, absolutely.
She doesn't know, but she will. Right, Frank, your thoughts on the Whispering Angel Oak Tree?
Look, Heredia was impressive in the Sandown. That form's been let down a bit. She obviously was beaten at Sandown. Sandback was beaten at the weekend. And to be honest, she would be the one I'd be probably half liking. But the truth is, I won't have a bet in this race, so I can't tip anything up.
That's fine. We'll move on if you don't have a bet. Rory?
Not enormously appealing. Interestingly, the last time this race was run on with a field this size and good to firm ground, the first, second and third were drawn in stalls 1, 2 and 3. And it's possible to win from a high draw here, but it's tricky over 7 furlongs at Goodwood. There's definitely a bias against the high numbers, and the favourite and second favourite are both parked high. Heredia's in 12, not desperate of the 17 field, but Soft Whisper's out in stalls 16, and we'll probably try to pass them all and get to the front, but that might just count against her later on. With not a huge amount of confidence, I would go with Primo Bacho. He's got a good drawn stall 4. She looked like she was going to do really well last season. Her win at York in May last year in the Michael Seeley Memorial suggests that she was going to turn into a superstar. She won by 3 lengths. She had Snow Lantern 5 lengths behind her. She absolutely blinded them for speed that day and looked like a real superstar, and she's not really gone on from it since. She did run respectably last time out in the Falmouth. She was third in the Duchess of Cambridge, rather the Duke of Cambridge at Ascot before that. So she's beginning to find her level again. And this is a weaker race than the one she's been contesting, and she's got a better draw than the market leaders. Bounce the Blues, another one who's one of the leading contenders in terms of form, who's drawn a stall 15. So Primo Bacho's got a very good setup, and it'd be disappointing if she can't hit the frame at least from where she's positioned.
A resident royalist, Rory, gets the Duke and the Duchess is right. Make sure you do that now, Rory. Yeah, the Duke and the Duchess of Cambridge.
Can't embarrass myself in public.
The 3 o'clock of Goodwood is the Malcolm. This one is the sprint for 2-year-olds. It's a Group 3. Rocket Rodney, who's lived up to the name, winning 2 of his last 3 for George Scott, is the favourite. 11-8 as we speak, though. Wall Bank could well challenge at the top of the market, 9-4. Studio City for Michael O'Callaghan. Ryan Moore booked for Michael O'Callaghan, 11-2. Eddie's Boy, of course, won the Super Sprint, is 6-1. Thundermore, 14s and 16-1 at Big of the Rest. Straight back to you, Rory, for the Malcolm.
I'll take a chance on Eddie's Boy here. I'm not mad on 2-year-old scurries as a rule. Rocket Rodney's got theoretically the best of draw and stall yet, so he's near the fence, but that can be a curse as well as a blessing if they go to the rail and he doesn't leave, which he's not going to, I don't think, then he might find himself in traffic problems. Eddie's Boy, on the other hand, has drawn a stall 1, which I think a lot of people would think automatically is the worst of the draw because it's furthest from the rail. But as I said, if they try to get onto the rail, then Eddie's Boy gets a lovely clear run down the outside. Historically at Goodwood, you're actually better off 5 or 6 horses off the standside fence anyway. If you look at the figures, middle draws do better In biggish fields at 5 furlongs at Goodwood, it's not so clear at 6, but Eddie's Boy ends up being in the right position, and he's also got the early toe to put himself out of others' way. And I've watched a lot of Molcombs in my time. There are always hard luck stories. And the one horse who I think is definitely going to get a clear run through this is Eddie's Boy. He doesn't have the very best form in the race, but he did improve during the super sprint and he showed lightning speed that day. That's definitely a career best from him. I think he'll be able to show that again. And although he's got 3 or 4 pounds to find to win this, I think he can do it.
Zerky?
Look, it's a tricky little race. Eddie's Boy was obviously impressive in the super sprint. Rocket Rodney, very progressive. The Windsor Castle form has worked out really well. He was impressive at Sandown last time. I'm going to give, Trillium is one that's very interesting. Second on debut here over 6 furlongs, won by 4 lengths at Newbury the last day, despite being green. Turn of foot was impressive. I think it's about 16 to 1. I'd be half tempted to have a few bobbing on her, but I probably think the most likely winner for me is Wild Bank. Look, small but disappointing to only be second when well back 7-4 favourite in the Norfolk. Did stumble at the start. He was second to Noble Style on his debut at Ascot. Noble Style tend to, could be one of the better juveniles. Won very easy at York in fair time, second time. And yeah, I think he'll be prominent as well. And he's probably, I think he's the one to beat, even though he's second favourite. And yeah, I'd be interested to see what Richard Hand says about Trillium. He'll probably be very positive as he is about everyone. But I think that horse got a fair bit of ability as well, even though, on the figure, it's an awful lot to find. But the way of travelling quick in the last day, she has plenty of ability.
Right, Wall Bank for Frank and Eddie's Boy for Rory in the Mulcombe. Move on to the Sussex Stakes, which has got a disappointing look to it in terms of from a betting perspective, if you're betting in the win market, unless you think that Baib gets beat because he's going to be long odds on. He's 1-6 as we record, 10-1 Order of Australia. Caribas taken out, which takes a fair amount of gloss off the race. Alcohol Free is also 10-1 as is Order of Australia, 25-1 Chinded. Modern Games, same price. Baccarat Leon, who is a Japanese raider, I guess, puts a bit of spice into it. And then a 50-1 shot in Angel Blue. All right, we don't have the dead eight, unfortunately, so we're probably playing the betting without here or the straight forecast, unless, Rory, you have some breaking news that Bai is going to get beat for some reason.
No, I don't think so. No. So it looks. Yeah, you're just looking at the you're looking at the exact or the forecast here or the without market, but I think the forecast is probably a slightly more lucrative way of playing.
Yeah.
And the one I'd want to be with in the race is Alcohol Free. She's you can't say much wrong with her. She won the race last year. Obviously a weaker race than it is because Baid was winning a Group 3 here, wasn't he, last year, I think, at this meeting, winning the Thoroughbred Stakes when she was winning this. She doesn't really have much of a chance of beating him on the form that they've shown this season, but she's not miles behind him, you know, with the... with the Phillies Alliance, she's run her best ever race in the July Cup. Showed, she was done for two at Ascot in the Platinum Jubilee, but she had no trouble keeping up with them at Newmarket. They went really fast that day. She just seems to be peaking again. A mile is as far as she wants to go. I was surprised she stayed a mile last year. I was convinced early on that what she wanted was 7 furlongs. But she got a couple of big wins last year, and even though it looked in the early part of this year that she hadn't really trained on from 3-4, she's then suddenly pulled out the performance of her career to win last time out. If I thought this was going to be a really strongly run mile, I'd be slightly concerned, but it's not, is it? The only way they're going to get Baid beat the other jockeys is by making this a false run race, which I still don't think beats Baid. You know, the only way you can really beat him is if you get him in a pocket. And I don't think Jim Crowley's going to fall for that. But yes, if they go slowly here, the one horse that suits ideally is Alcohol Free, because she's got that sharp turn of foot that the others maybe struggle for a little bit. So she's going to get the race run to suit her. She's probably not good enough to beat Baid, but she looks nailed on for second for me.
Jim will fix it. He'll just barge his way out anyway, so she'll be fine if he gets in a pocket. Right, that's
can't me say off Jim Christmas will fix list. It.
Can't say anything there. Right, Frank, is there any other angle in the race?
No.
But thank you. Win. Okay.
I've got 3 seconds.
Simple. All right. Simple as that. Let's move on from a disappointing Qatar Sussex Stakes. The 410 is live on ITV. It's a 1.25 handicap and we're operating at prices. Was there any thoughts on that before we move on to Gahoy? Rory, I'm probably looking at you.
Yeah, no, again, not my ideal kind of race. I don't like the Phillies handicaps as much as the all-aged, all-in handicaps. But I thought Rousey would probably outrun her odds. She's going to be a reasonable price. She's been beaten 4 times this season in handicaps, so no one's going to be falling over themselves to back her. But the races she's running have worked out pretty well. She's a straightforward ride. She looks to be progressing a little bit run to run as well. And her second to Terra Mythica at Salisbury last time out is a solid piece of form. She's also proven up the track. And I think while she's, you know, there are others who'll be shorter in the betting than her in this race. No doubt Sea Speedwell will be all the rage for William Haggis on handicap debut. You can't stop that man at the moment. No. I think as a result, Rousey will be a very backable price. And I think she's capable of winning this.
Frank, anything from you on that before we move on to Galway?
Yeah, it was actually Rousey as well. Ran well back here in May, went third behind Lawful Command and Soft Ground over Mile. Race that's worked out reasonably well. Didn't have the pace for a mile at Salisbury and better ground when staying on into fourth. I thought she ran well when second at 10 furlongs at Salisbury last time behind an unexposed Michael Stouthorse. Now, I think Richard Hannah won this 2017 with Bills and Bess. I think she was second.
In the same colours as well.
Same colours.
Colours. She was a 3-year-old running off 86. Now, Rousey runs off 83. I think Bills and Bess might have been second in that same Salisbury handicap. I think she'll come home strong. And I was thinking she'd be at least 10-1.
Well, let's hope she is.
Bills and Brook, of course, are also a winner at this meeting in the same colours for Richard Hannon back in the
was
day.
Was the nursery?
She was a remarkable winner in the nursery. She got literally stopped. I've never seen a horse literally come to a standstill in a 6 or 7 furlong race and still win. It was
incredible.
You have to get the replay of that to believe it.
Given she was in a nursery, that would suggest she had a few pounds in that, given what she
went to do the next spring.
Yeah, she was a group one animal. Okay, right, that's Goodwood covered. Quick break, then we'll have a quick look at Galway and Galway Plate Day.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's have a look ahead to Galway Day 3 for their festival. Before we get to the plate, which is off at 6:40, a quick scan through the card. We're operating without prices, but Frank, you did have your eye on a couple of the declarations as they filtered through as we were recording. The 5:10 is the maiden hurdle. What caught the eye?
Yeah, look, it looks like it could be, above average. You've Champs Kiley, who was an impressive winner of a Limerick bumper at the tail end of May, up against Dawn Rising, who was beaten she was fourth in the maiden behind Galileo Chrome, who obviously went on to win the Ledger, won a Limerick maiden, and then was second in the Bahrain trophy behind Alazi. Hasn't been seen since, was 2 years off the track, been gelded in the interim, hurdles debut. Need to see what way that goes in the market. Could go either way, but if it's strong in the market, he could make up into a really nice hurdler. I'd just be interested to see how that race goes. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, he's
probably
Galileo,
above though. Average for this time of year.
He's a Galileo. They cannot jump hurdles. Like they just always seem to be disappointing. Super Sunday was the only good Galileo over hurdles. That's Dawn Rising, though. Very interesting runner, as you rightly said. Rare a horse, but that rating will go over hurdles. Champ Kylie, probably the one to beat. Had you won in the 5:40 or was it 6:10?
No, I have won the 5:40. I'm going to take a chance on Flying Scotsman, another Galileo jumping hurdles in the JP Manus colours.
Useless.
Out of Ivy Gardens, who was a very useful mare. She was a Group 3 winner. I think she beat Found at a matter of price. I think she went 25-1 the day she beat Found, the Cora. Look, Flying Scotsman, a bit of a patchy profile, but he did win twice on the flat here 2 years ago, off 73 over a mile and a half, and then dropped back to a mile the following day and beat in from the cold off America 79. Look, hurdling hasn't been brilliant. Did win a maiden hurdle at Navan. it wasn't probably the strongest maiden hurdle last June, was beaten here behind Arcade and Sunrise, with 4-1 favourite. Look, that was probably a stronger race than this. We have only seen him once at the Curragh in May on the flat. But you'd imagine Galway was on his agenda. He's only 5, he's stepping up to 2.5 miles, I think, which will suit. And I don't have prices yet, but I think he'll go well.
Well, the JP Silk, so if he's fancy, it'd be interesting to see what kind of a price he is. That's the Flying Scotsman.
Just, I'll just throw one in there as well, if you like.
Go on, Rory.
If you like Midnight Run on the previous day, San Salvador was the one who was second to him at Ballinrobe last week. And if you think that Joseph's using flat races as a convenient prep for this meeting, San Salvador's pretty interesting from a handicapping perspective as well. In this, he's got a rating of 123. I thought he ran pretty well the other day. It will blow away the cobwebs, and he shouldn't be far away.
Lovely. Okay, watch out for those two. Moving on to the 640, race number 3 in the card, Frank, and there's another one with potential, 610, third race in the card. There's another one with the potential Galway connections in this, I suppose.
Purple Mountain for Willie Mullins. It won at Galway last year. In a maiden hurdle, look, probably wasn't the strongest maiden hurdle in the world, but she did manage to win a Group 3 at Tipperary. Again, probably wasn't the strongest Group 3 in October, and she disappointed twice after that, including in a really strong handicap hurdle at Fairy House when she was 25-1 shot. But this is probably down a grade, a fair bit down a grade, and considering who owns it, Willie Mullins, Paul Towland, you know, she won't be a massive price, but she'll probably take a fair bit of eating.
The B colours always do be watched out for, those purple and green silks at Galway. Right, the plate is a feature on the third day. We have revised prices now. We're recording on Monday, so there could be a fair difference between the prices on Betfolio and when you're listening to this. But the Shunter, who's been a wonderful horse for Emmett Mullins in the JP Silks, is the 13-2 favourite at the time of recording. But there's not much between him and another Emmett Mullins horse, Cape Gentleman, who's 7-1. Fire Attack for Joseph Bryan is 7-1. 8-1 Gabby Nacko, 9-1 Hewick, who Shark says can't get beat. That's the 9-1, just changing it for me. 10-1 El Barra, who Ruby Walsh put up on this pod on Friday, saying he had a good chance on the plate. Willie Mullins, Paul Town, and 12-1, and bigger the rest. Rory, I got back to you because you did mention one on Friday's pod that you thought would go well, and lo and behold,
he's in the race, which is you know, that's a success for me, trying to back horses in the Galway pit generally. I've been very keen on Cape Gentleman for a while as a chasing project. I stuck him in my 10-to-follow last year, and he was then unsighted after falling at Ferry House in the Drinmore. He was very impressive, including on the clock when winning a Grade 3 at Cork. And then I think most people thought he was a wee bit disappointing last time out, but he ran into Riviere d'Etel, and he was trying to give her £18, and that was just an impossible task. He didn't jump as well as her that day, and his jumping is just a little bit of a concern. He can get a little low at his fences, as he did in the Drinmore, but he was going well at the time when he came down that day, and given the way that race panned out, he might well have got involved in the finish. My view on him is it's well established now that he absolutely has to go right-handed. Therefore, he has limited targets. And I was wondering if he'd come over to the UK to run at Ascot or Kempton through the winter, but he's been kept off. This has clearly been the target for quite a while. And given that he's got those limited options, and that his handicap market's been protected by not running him since then, whether that's deliberate or whether he wasn't quite right. The Mullins horses, Emmett Mullins' horses, struggled to win races last winter. I mean, he went about 4 months without a winner. So I'd be a lot happier to be with him now. And Cape Gentleman, he's a proper job horse. He was very impressive on good ground at Kempton over hurdles the previous season. And he's hardly thrown in of 1-5-2, but given the talent that he has and how this race will pan out, I think it'll suit him really well. It's just a question of he can't afford to make any mistakes in a race like this. And he, you know, he is a fairly raw novice, but he's also open to tons of improvement over fences as well. And I think he's a very, very interesting runner.
Lovely. Cape Gentleman for Emmett Mullins. Mr. Hickey?
Yeah, very interesting. I think I priced it at Banty Post, and I think I was keeping him on side. I think there was...
Might have been 10, so I think you were.
Yeah, I think there was 14 or 16 when I put it up. You could definitely see it, but last year was the first year in a while that a horse carried over 11 stone, and I'm not saying it's impossible, it's not at all. But just, like, he was 4-1 favourite for the Galway Hurdle last year off a mark of 140. Like, going right-handed is the key to him, 152. It is a tough enough mark. And yeah. I liked Fire Attack when I was pricing Anti Post. I think I put him in clear favourite at 7-1. And I'm not going to desert him. I just think if you look back to what he achieved early on in his career, like he beat Judy Stowe in a bumper at Limerick, was beaten a neck by Farouk Delenn at Naas. And on his hurdles debut, he was only beaten half length by Fakir in a group three in a grade three at Navan. He was trialed. He did run a grade one level, wasn't up to that. Was only an 8-1 shot when pulled up in the Fred Winter. And he had a bit of time off after Punchestown when he ran fair fifth. Won his chase debut, fell in the grade one at Limerick unseated behind Matt and McShee. Thought he ran okay behind CL Denege then. Was obviously rated in the mid-150s. And I thought the run at Punchestown, it wasn't the strongest race in the world, but I liked the way he travelled and jumped. And that was on decent ground. All his form was on ground with cuts. So it just kind of would remove any worries about if the ground was, you know, getting towards the good side. He carries 10 stone 10. Shane Fitzgerald's a very good claimer. Takes off 3. Mark for 144. I think everything's in place for him to run a big race. Look, it's very competitive. Yeah. As it always is, and I wouldn't put anyone off Cape Gentleman either, but I do think Fire Attack has a bit of scope to be better than a 144 horse.
All right, two for the plate, folks, in the shape of Fire Attack and Cape Gentleman. What only remains is your best bet on the Wednesday, let's call it, and I'll go to you. Straight back to you, Frank. Best bet.
I will go with Flying Scotsman.
Flying Scotsman.
Galway. Pardon?
Doesn't even know the price yet, but he's going to the end.
I'd imagine it's a competitive enough handicap hurdle.
It should be these price. Galileo's over hurdles, right. Flying Scotsman for Frank Hickey. Rory?
I might go for one we've not discussed yet on the towards the end of the card. It's Goodwood. It's a tricky card at Goodwood on Wednesday. I'll go for a horse called The Attorney in the last, which is a 7-furlong handicap. Again, I'd expect low draws to be favoured there. And Charlie Hills is the attorney, has been placed at Goodwood this season in a similar race, smaller field race, but he ran very well. He's drawn and stalled 4 here. He'll be able to track the pace just in front of him. And he's on the right handicap. He's not thrown in, but I think a lot of these Goodwood handicaps aren't about being laid out and being ahead of your mark. They're about getting the run of the race and giving you running. And I think he will get the run of the race. His form is solid and he's going to be a reasonable price there. William Buick, a very good jockey booking for Charlie Hills.
Lovely. Number 3 in the 520. That's The Attorney, the nap for Rory, whilst Frank going with Flying Scotsman, which is in the 610 or 640. You remind me? One of those two.
610.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you much for your very, very enjoyable coverage of so far the Going Goodwood Festivals. We'll be back tomorrow looking ahead to Thursday's action. Ruby will rejoin us as well for that. So looking forward to that. But until then, folks, stay well. Best luck with your bets. And if you're in Galway, might see you for a pint.